Good morning, everybody. Well, good afternoon, depending on where you are. I'm Elena, co-founder of Investing Bay, and I have been trading full-time going on I think almost 4 years now, actually, with Mark, with us being in March. So lots of experience. Not I wouldn't say lots of experience because it's only been 4 years, and I do feel like one of my favorite investors of all time, Warren Buffett. You guys know he still reads like 8 hours a day. So I'm someone who I aspire to have a portfolio like that one day. And so I'm very much still a student of the market too. And I think this is like a lifelong learning. So that's how I kind of approach the market. But I do day trade full time. I consider myself more of a scalper. I think last time I checked, my average trade time was around 7 minutes. And so today I want to talk about my favorite topic ever, which is momentum. Because without momentum, my life would not be possible. So, this is something I think just from the people I've worked with, I feel like this is something that a lot of traders have a hard time really grasping, especially in a market like we're seeing now with a really low VIX, really choppy price action in some places. So, I think it's just really helpful to understand how to read volume, read momentum, and identify really good opportunities to trade and also really good opportunities to play defense and maybe not deploy capital into a choppy market. So I do trade options. I also have long terms. Those of you all who trade options, you know they're directional. So we need movement. We actually need volatility. We like that. And so when the market doesn't present that, it's also good to know when it's cool to sit on your hands. So without further ado, let's get into this. This is just our risk disclosure. Anyone, there's always risk involved, right? I've never seen a trader that never took a loss. I've never seen a trader that never, blew up an account. Like there's a learning curve here. Very, very familiar with that. But just remember everything we go over just for educational purposes. It's not financial advice. And then always, always invest responsibly. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll keep going. All right, you guys. So the first thing you'll need, obviously, to chart is a charting platform. My favorite platform is TradingView, as you guys will see in just a bit when we head over. I was gonna just, we'll check out the market towards like the second half of my presentation because it's one thing to know the theory, but it's like a whole nother thing to analyze and also react in alignment with your analysis. So I do want to look at some live price action since we're working during the market. But another platform that I really enjoy is Thinkorswim, and I'll talk more about that later. Also, I would say Webull. I think Webull has really good charts. Don't know why it's not on here, but I do like their charts as well. So one of the first things that we have to do as traders is identify a trend, right? We have to have something telling us what is setting up because we can't read the future. All we have is current data and past data. So we have to make all of our decisions with only that in mind. So the first job of a trader is to figure out your direction. And so there's a couple different types of trends in the market that are going to correlate to the type of trade that you're taking. So there are four trading types predominantly. You have your scalper day trader who's just there for a few minutes, right? We're there for a good time, not a long time. And so all we really have to focus on as day traders and scalpers is the minor trend. Right? What's happening on the daily, the weekly, the monthly? That's not my business, right? I don't care. I want to know what's happening on the lower time frames in the here and now, maybe just a quick headline, a catalyst, Jerome Powell testifying, which he didn't give us too much to work with today. But whatever it is, right? All I need is a little spurt of momentum for the time being. I'm in and out. I tell my students it's like playing hot potato, right? We're just profiting off that price difference. The next trading type you have is your day trader, right? So one thing about me, right? I trade the S&P, right? I trade the SPX. That is my favorite thing to trade because of the chaos, right? I enjoy the chaos. But it's also important to understand the differences in a scalp and a day trade. Usually day traders, right? They're in there a little bit longer, right? They could hold for hours for a trend, right? Waiting for a trend to develop. So the reason I like scalping is because, as we all know, the market is highly unpredictable. SPX could be doing something one day or, in 1 minute that it's totally doing something else 10 minutes or an hour later. So I like to capitalize on those short movements. I don't like to day trade SPX. I don't like to be in there longer than a few minutes. Theta, time decay is through the roof, and they just lose value extremely fast. So I would rather take multiple trades in one direction than one big trade and try to hold it all day long. That being said, for day trading, you're still focused on these minor trends, but there is a lot of price fluctuation throughout the day. There's a lot of loss of momentum. All of that can lead to time decay and deteriorate your premium. So I like to just cut my holding time down. I'm actually trying to get my holding time even lower than 7 minutes. The next type of trading would be your swing trade, right? So there's different types of swing trades. All we're doing is holding our position overnight. But with the swing trade, right, there are technicals involved. But with the swing, there are also fundamentals involved. So if you look at a trade like, I'm going to use a crazy example, you guys, because it's just on the top of my mind right now. But like, look at SMCI or NVIDIA, right? These guys have had these crazy run-ups over an extended period of time, right? A lot of them got in like this crazy overbought, like historically overbought levels in SMCI's case. And so these swings, right, we're holding overnight, but we have a catalyst that's also driving investors to keep buying this price up. Yeah, I identify as a scalper because I really don't hold my positions very long. I like to buy large position sizes and I just hold them for a few minutes. And what you'll find is that less is actually more. And it depends on what you're trading, right? I'm speaking just from my experience. SPX, those contracts are not designed to be held. Any 0-day expiration contract in my head, or 1-day expiration, they're not designed to be held, right? If you want to hold the contract longer, catch more of the trend, you've got to buy time to allocate that. And the ability to hold a contract longer, that is a luxury. That is a luxury, and we have to pay for luxury, right? And this actually leads me to my next point, right? With a swing trade, if you're looking at a trend developing on a higher time frame, you're going to be focused on not only the minor trends as you monitor your position, but you're also going to be focused on the secondary trend, right? The secondary trend is also going to be your friend. So if you're in a case like this, I think this is a chart of the SPY actually, but you guys can see the secondary trend goes against that primary trend, right? So like all these pullbacks, if our primary trend is straight up in the air, like it's up over the longer period, you'll notice these secondary trends are these pullbacks. So those can be helpful too for a swing trader, as well as a day trader and scalper. And then last but not least, with your primary trend, this is the overall trend of the stock, right? So this is more for my elite people. If you're buying like years on your contracts, if you're buying shares for long-term holding, the major primary trend, that's your best friend, right? So if I'm someone who's a shareholder, and I see that Apple is a strong company, or S&P is going, you know, strong like over the years, then my concern is buying up these dips, right? I'm going to worry about buying up these secondary trends. Or if we have a stock like Nikola, which I won't get on my soapbox about Nikola, but they've had a shaky history, right? So the stock has been pulling back for some time now, I believe since like 2020 when it IPO'd. I don't think we've ever been anywhere near that price again. But in a situation where the primary trend is down, then when we rally, when you have those pops, you short the rally, right? So we can run our puts down, we can short the stock. But it's all about identifying. It's almost like they say, get in where you fit in, right? So having a trading plan can help with this. Has anyone ever had a trade where, you know, maybe it was supposed to be a day trade, but you didn't take profit, or it went against you and you were kind of waiting to see what happened, but that day trade turned into a swing trade? The only problem with that is we have to be super mindful of the types of contracts we're buying, right? If you're not buying time on your contract and you're trying to hold it longer, those things do not mesh well. And I know it sounds good, but all contracts are not created equal. And also, just because a stock has contracts doesn't even mean that they're a good idea, because not all contracts are meant to even be traded. And so next we're going to get into Dow theory a little bit and understand more of the market structure, and then we'll lead into our momentum stuff. So the market moves in 4 stages according to Dow theory, right? And I'm going to show you guys my chart, so we'll go over all the things that I use to look for this stuff too. But your stage one, this is your basing and accumulation stage, typically very choppy, consolidating range, trading in a range, which is like the bane of my existence. It's very, not always, but it's usually pretty slow. You'll have established support, established resistance. And in this point, we're just waiting for buyers to come in and try to push the price up. So once enough buyers step into the market and we start retesting the resistance or the upper end of that channel, then we find our uptrend. And so from here, we go into a stage two, which is your advancing and your uptrend. This is typically where, you know, buyers step in, we start to trend up. And if you go back to the trading styles, you can kind of see like in a stage one, scalpers actually can get away with taking really short, quick trades in a tight range, right? Swing traders, not so much, right? That can get really expensive with time decay and all that good stuff, depending on how much time you're buying, right? So as we go into this uptrend, this is where you can kind of see more, you know, buyers, again, an established trend. I feel more confident swinging when we're already in an established trend, right? I don't want to try to predict which way we're going to go out of when we break out of consolidation. So after the buyers have had their fun, we move into stage three. Stage three is the top, right? It's the distribution phase. And so now that all the big money has filed in, they've had their fun. Now we start to see another consolidation take place, right? This is the top of the mountain. And this is not necessarily where you want to buy, right? Unless we take out these highs up here, not the best place to buy. I know a lot of people moving out of 2020 and into 2021. I saw a lot of people buying leaps and like long-term positions as the market was like topping out, you know, it was kind of preparing to roll over. And then we saw that crazy pullback that tech had shortly after that. So the ideal entry to profit from your downside would be taking out the support of that stage three. And then again, we move into stage four, our declining, our downtrend. This is really where I go into, okay, I'm going to get puts, right? I'm going to run this down. Typically, you'll see more selling volume, right? One of my favorite things about trading is when the selling happens, because sometimes it feels like the selling is a little more aggressive than the buying. And I like that, right? Because I need the momentum. So these are the things you want to think about as you're planning your trades, right? And then after we go down from the stage four, we enter back into that stage one and we do it all over again. And again, there's no time limits on these. The market dictates what we do. We're just the reactors, right? We're just here to react. We don't have to stress ourselves about what's happening next. We just have to stay ready to react and respond. All right, so let's talk about volume. So volume is going to refer to obviously the number of shares in a given period. Typically, when you see volume represented, there'll be like a little parenthesis, and sometimes it'll have a number in that parenthesis, and that's giving you the average volume over that time period. So it might be 14 days, it might be, you know, 3 months, 6 months. It just depends on where you look. I know TradingView and Yahoo Finance and FinViz, they all show me a different volume metric. But all we're looking for is two things, actually. So the first thing we want to look for as traders in general is overall volume in the stock, right? Volume, and we'll talk about liquidity in a second, but liquidity is your ability to turn your asset into cash. So typically those heavier traded stocks, there's like a really positive correlation between volume being present and liquidity being present. Not always, right? There's always a catch in the market, but for the most part, you can see those kind of hand in hand. And then when your volume is not there, typically liquidity is a little shaky too, right? They correlate. And so you also have volume when it comes to options trading on your contract, right? That specific strike price is going to have its own volume. So as you look up and down the options chain, you may see that some strike prices are more heavily traded than others. And that's cool too. Also, your open interest, right? So open interest typically is going to be present somewhere on that chain. You'll see it kind of concentrated somewhere. And it's not always going to make sense. So one thing with options that's important to understand is that you have options buyers and you have option sellers, right? And they actually want different things depending on the side of the chain they're on. So when you talk about open interest, this is only telling us the number of contracts that are open and active, right? So this is how many people have these positions open, which is also a good indicator, right? We want to see that there's open interest because that also goes towards liquidity. And just to give an example, has anyone ever like taken a trade? Maybe you were ready to get out with your profit, but you had a hard time getting your trade to execute. Or maybe it was a hard time getting into the trade. Typically, you see that a lot with limit orders. Like if there's a really wide spread, it can be hard to get in and out of a trade with all your capital, and that's liquidity essentially. I like to trade the SPY, SPX. There's a lot of volume a lot of times in there. Not always, you know, the market could be overall low volume, but typically these are some pretty heavily traded tickers. And so my spreads are usually like a penny apart, right? Maybe two at most, but they're typically pretty close, but not all spreads are created equal. All right, so here we go with liquidity. Again, how easily can we create, or how easily can we convert our asset to cash, right? For scalping, this is very important. If you're buying a whole bunch of contracts at once, you wanna make sure you can get out with your money, right? The last thing I wanna see is me trying to sell, you know, 20 contracts and only one of them executing. That's a nightmare. So we need liquidity if we're gonna trade these options in a short time period. Price, again, one thing that's important with this, and this is one thing, one reason I love to trade high volume stocks, is that in a market where there is liquidity, right, where there's volume, a larger order, and I'm sure you all have seen this too, right? Even this morning, we had a weak uptrend. I think I was watching, I want to say IWM. IWM formed like an inverted head and shoulders, and it started moving higher, but that uptrend was like super choppy. And it seemed like, you know, one big sell order can come in and kind of retrace a lot of that. So when there's not a lot of volume in the market can't absorb those crazy orders that are going against the trends, right? When we have a super, you know, crazy run up and there's a little selling, it doesn't just halt everything, right? It might make us move sideways or pull back a hair, but we're not taking out lows off of like one candle, right? So that's another thing in a market that's not super liquid. You can see a lot of slippage on your premiums and your stop losses. Your premiums can be a little more volatile depending on how much time you've bought on them. For anyone that's traded like 0 day expiration, that can be a nightmare in a market that's not volatile because your premium can't tolerate that fluctuation. And it also can't tolerate that sideways movement, right? We really need direction more than ever when we don't have time. Spread narrowing, again, more volume, closer bid and ask spread and vice versa, typically. And then again, consistency, right? So if we have a volume spike, which everybody loves a volume spike, we still have to have backup, right? We can't just run to the moon off of one volume spike, right? We need the buyers or the sellers to continue to come in, right? We need them to, we need the volume. Not only it doesn't have to build, but it has to be consistent. Otherwise, you can have a volume spike and then we reverse and head out. What kind of IV are you looking for? Honestly, it doesn't really, to me and in my trading, it doesn't too much matter. Like even if I'm trading something that's got, you know, crazy volatility, I'm like the SMCI or like a GameStop, something like that. I think GameStop's IV got around 600%. I was still scalping it. But my thing is with volatility, I think of it as a balloon, right? This is the analogy I always tell my students. If volatility is a balloon, what's going to happen is when volatility goes up, it's going to inflate, your premium like a balloon, right? So if volatility is already high, I know I'm overpaying for this premium, right? And just like a balloon, when it deflates, right? When the balloon deflates, the IV comes down, it's going to crush the premium too. So again, if you're trading something that has a high IV, just know that one, you're overpaying for the premium. And then two, you don't want to be there long, right? You don't want to be there when the IV comes back to earth. I'll give you another example. IV, right, in the first like 30 minutes of the market is higher, right? It's increased, it's elevated. So a lot of people jump in at 9:30 and they take an options position. And then by 10 o'clock, their premium's crushed, right? Because there's an IV crush that happens after market open. I believe that's called opening range trading. And so for me, I don't like to trade the market open just because I know SPX premiums are already expensive, but why would I want to pay even more for them and have the chance of it being crushed, right? And then we typically consolidate at some point, right, in the market. So let's say you jump in high IV, the stock goes against you. Now you've not only had like an IV crush, but now you're in the hole and it's going to take a rip, right? It's going to take a huge move for us to get out of the hole and even break even, not let alone profit. Do you basically buy a call or buy a put? Yeah, exactly. I usually buy calls or buy puts and I'm in there and I'm out of there. I don't like to hold long again. I'll even show you guys an example of what I mean. We'll go off script a little. That's okay. Options. So let me just preface this. This tool is cool for visuals, but please don't take these values to heart because I don't think this includes like intrinsic value on your contracts. I could be wrong, but I don't think it includes that. Today is March the 6th, and I'm just going to show you guys an out of the money contract. Let's do the 5140 on SPX, right? This is out of the money, not crazy expensive, $150. But let's just look at what happens if the price doesn't go up, right? So here's the 5124. We're up 58 bucks. This is not the best example, but we literally have to continue trending up to be profitable, right? If we start going down, our premium cannot tolerate that, right? Let's see if I can find a better example. I'm going to use Tesla because I know Tesla has a high theta as well. Oh man, Tesla's working its way to 150. I hope we get there. All right, let's look at Tesla for next week. Let's do March 15th. And again, this is a really short contract. I just want you guys to see. Okay, boom. Tesla has a high time decay, typically high theta. So check this out, you guys. Remember, we need direction. So Tesla not only needs to go up, right? And this is just today. It needs to go, this red is time decay, right? So if we don't go up consistently, we're losing money, right? If we go up, but we go up slow, we're still losing money. So maybe Tesla shoots up today or shoots up tomorrow and we're in profit. It still has to keep going up or we keep losing money on time. Does that make sense? I hope the visual helps. But again, with options, this is why momentum is everything, because look how small our window of profitability is on this thing. And it just gets smaller as you get closer to expiration. And then let's say we go negative, it gets even weirder, right? It gets even more impossible to make profit or even break even. So I'm very big on if you're in profit, lock it in and readjust. You can always reposition. But once that money is gone, it's very hard to turn that ship around. And I learned that the hard way. I did not wake up like, I know how to do this. No, I used to hold my options until they were worth nothing. And that's not a good feeling. All right, I think my screen froze. That's okay. We'll refresh. No problem. And like I said, take those values with a grain of salt, but I do love how they illustrate that time decay on there. All right, so when we talk about price action, it's really candles, volume, and like these support and resistance levels, right? Support is the floor, resistance is the ceiling. We have our trends that we discussed a second ago. We also have candlestick patterns, right? Our candles can form these cool formations that can tell us, I don't even want to say they can tell us what's going to happen because you can actually get faked out, but they can present opportunities for us to kind of understand what's happening or what's trying to happen. So the biggest thing with your patterns, like your flags and pennants, your head and shoulders, all those patterns that we know and love, make sure you're respecting your trend lines and your necklines, right? So even if you form an ascending triangle, make sure you're breaking out of the top of that thing with volume and not just kind of peeking your head through. Because I've seen a lot of times we kind of break out on weak volume and then the opposite happens, right? We actually end up dumping. So just make sure you respect the trend lines and monitor that volume. Breakouts and breakdowns, this is going to be when price approaches that support or resistance level and volume increases, right? If your price is selling off and then volume starts to kind of drizzle and go away, and then you have like sideways price action, that's not typically a signal you want to see. That's not something you want to see as a bear, right? That's saying like the buyers are here, they're holding the line, we're not making it any lower. And there's only three ways that we can even go, you guys. We can go up, down, or sideways. So if we're holding support and we don't have the volume to break it, chances are we're going to consolidate, go back into that stage one, or the buyers are going to step in and we're going to look at an uptrend at some point. But typically, we don't just go straight up and straight down. We consolidate a lot. I think historically, we consolidate more than we trend. So with your candlestick formation, this is also important. And I only mention this because candles and volume have this really cool relationship, right? The volume and the candle have to match. So, and we'll talk more about that. But in your bullish candle, typically, I feel like this is the biggest misconception of trading ever. But just because a candle's green doesn't mean it's bullish, right? And I know that sounds silly, but it's true. So the only reason this candle is green is because it closed higher than it opened. Right? The price closed higher than it opened. That is the only reason this candle is green. On your red candles, the bearish candle, The only reason it's red again is because it closed higher than it opened. But again, all red candles are not bearish. And so what the candles are going to represent to us is what the price did on this time frame, right? On this interval. So if I'm looking at a 10 or well, not 10, let's say 15 minutes, this is going to tell me the high, the low, the open and the close of, let's say, Apple stock in that 15 minutes, right? So we do get a lot of data from these, but again, it's not only the color, but it's how they're formed. So if we look at these, right, here's our little handy dandy scale. If we look at this guy, this candle, and remember this too, you all, the bottom, the buyers push up from the bottom, right? They want to push us through the roof. The sellers, they push down from the top. So if you see a candle like this, it's actually called a Marabozu. This is really bullish because all it is, it's green. So all the buyers did is they stepped in and they pushed it straight up in the air. There's no wick up here. So there's literally no selling pressure. You might see a tiny wick, but this is very bullish, all bullish. This one over here, super bearish. It opened up top and the sellers smacked her down, right? We see these a lot in earnings time, right? When we have those big blocks come in, pre-market, we'll see them. You can even see them during the market, but just know if there's no wick on the top or the bottom, they mean business, right? So the next guy, this is our hammer. The easiest way to remember the hammer is we're building something, right? We're building something. So look at this wick on the bottom. And remember, the buyers are pushing up. The longer the wick on the bottom, that's buyers, right? So the more bullish, the longer the wick on the bottom, the more bullish we are. Barring that we don't have something like this where there's a wick on the top and the bottom, right? This is indecisive. So over here, buyers pushed up pretty hard, and this is a bullish hammer. Over here, this is still bullish, right? Even though it's red, this is actually still bullish. The buyer still did this, right? Even though it's red. Over here, this is bullish, right? But these are all about context. Really, all of them are about context. But this candle right here, I think of this as like a pawn. Like, you know, when you play chess, you have your pawns. It's almost like, okay, if we're trending up and this pops up, okay, it's just like a soldier, right? It's not a big deal, but it's all about context. What comes next? Over here, indecision, right? This is our spinning top. We have a long wick on top and a long wick on the bottom. Excuse me. So we need some type of context with this too, right? What comes next? What came before it? Over here, this guy's green, but he's real bearish, right? Really bearish. This is our shooter candle. This is our shooter, right? So here, long wick on top, that's bearish. Dragonfly, super bullish doji. Gravestone, super bearish doji, and on and on. So just remember the body and the wicks. That's going to help you read these way more than just this is red, this is green, right? Because it's way deeper than that. On your chart, you'll see in the top corner, you'll get OHLC. That's the opening price, the high, the low, and the close, right? We saw that over here, right? OHLC, same thing. It's just written out differently, but it's literally the same concept. And this can tell us what's going on in those time frames, right? Whatever time frame we're looking at. So these are the ways essentially that volume can help us validate price action. So one thing I want to say before we get into this is you can have, when we have trends, right? It's not just uptrend and downtrend, right? You can have a strong uptrend and you can have a weak uptrend. You can have a strong downtrend. You can have a weak downtrend, right? And so when we trade, especially on these lower time frames, we look for strength, even on the higher time frames. I don't know what I'm saying, but we need strength, right? So we need that volume. We need to make sure that we're always trading into strength because weak trends, again, they cause issues like slippage and near premium bouncing around, things like that. So volume, one of the ways it helps is it confirms the trend, right? If we're going up and then you see a ton of buyers step in, that's pretty bullish, right? Versus if we're just barely going up, slow crawl, fighting for our lives to move a penny higher, that's not strength, right? That can actually be problematic. Lower time frame duration, it just depends. Honestly, it can be anywhere from 1, 3, 5, but those are like your really low time frames. I actually had a student once, she brought up her chart and I think she had like I think it was a 30 second or a 10 second candle. And I felt like I was going cross-eyed. I was like, this is too much. One little red candle, it looked like the whole market was crashing. So, make it make sense, but you don't need the seconds. I think that's a little too fast. So reversals, this is another thing that's really cool that helped me with my price action. So let's say you're trending up, right? And we're trending up on strong volume. So one of the first ways that you can identify whether you're looking at a pullback or a reversal is through volume, right? So let's say there's a little profit taking, which is to be expected. What is the profit? What does that little reversal look like? Right? What does that pullback look like? Are we holding at a higher support level? Because if that's the case, we're still technically bullish, right? If support is rising, we're still bullish. But what does the volume say in that case, right? If we, let me just, I have to draw this. I'm sorry. I'm such a visual person. But let's say we're trending up, right? We're trending up. So let's say we have a pullback right around in here. What does the volume look like here, right? Because we still have a higher support. So is selling volume building here, or is selling volume just kind of dwindling and we're moving sideways? Because if it's building, right, and we break this, there's a chance that this could actually be a reversal. But if selling volume isn't building, if it's not sustaining, that gives the bulls an opportunity to step in and go to take out this high, this previous high, and continue their uptrend. So whenever you see that, just make sure you're monitoring the volume too. Because sometimes the selling will actually start building here and then we'll kind of roll over. But a lot of times before that happens, we consolidate again. Do y'all remember what stage that is in the market? It's distribution. It's distribution. But it just depends, right? It just depends. But it's all about being able to identify those levels. All right, let's clear this and let's keep it going. All right, so signs of strength. Again, higher highs and higher lows. That is bullish. A bullish breakout, again, that's us taking out resistance with heavier volume, right? So we've got support rising. We're also having volume build as we approach these highs, and that's also still bullish. Bullish engulfing, that's basically when you have a candle that comes in. Like, let's say, I know this is pink, but let's say this is candle number one, and let's say this is candle number two, and it's green, right? This candle has totally engulfed this one. Very bullish, right? Depending, and the bigger the time frame, I think the more consistent that is, the more important that is. Like, if you have a bullish engulfing on a daily, that's way more significant than like a bullish engulfing on a 1 minute. Gaps, right? If we gap up and keep running, that's a special kind of gap, right? It's a runaway gap. That is a bullish type of gap. We also have like island reversal gaps. So like, let's say we gap down on one side, then we gap up on the other side, and we have some free floating price action down below. That is a bullish reversal type of gap, or that is a, it's a strong reversal gap, because you can also have a bearish one, but you'll have identical gaps on each side, right? Still bullish. Support holds. We talked about that a second ago. When price falls to support and it doesn't go any lower, that is not necessarily bullish, but it's telling us that we're not heading any lower. So we're either going to go sideways, or the buyers are going to make a run to turn this thing around and go back up. And then also decreased pullback volume. Again, if you're pulling back during an uptrend and the volume is trash for the bears, chances are you're not going to sell off really hard, right? Unless that volume starts picking back up for the sellers, there's nothing to worry about. And those are good opportunities for re-entry on those retests of the previous highs. And so your signs of weakness, lower lows and lower highs, right? If we can't advance, we're either going to go sideways or down. When we have a bunch of green candles coming in, we want to see price advance, right? We don't want to see price move sideways. We want to see price actually move higher or lower if we're in a downtrend. Bearish breakdowns, when we get to support and volume picks up, right? Sometimes we'll get to support or resistance and we just get a little, a little tap, right? We might get the wick through there. Or maybe the body gets, smacked up above that level and then it gets pushed all the way back down. We have a crazy long wick. But when we break support, we need volume, we need it to step in, and we need the price to come on down. Bearish engulfing, same thing. You've just got a bearish candle engulfing the previous one. Gap downs and resistance holds, right? When price is rising, what happens when we hit the ceiling? Again, we need volume, right? If we can't break the ceiling, then we can't be bullish anymore, right? We can't go higher if we can't move past resistance. Increased volume on your declines. How many of you guys have ever noticed that? I call them, well, they're the panic sellers, right? Sometimes we'll start selling off, or there'll be a really big sell. Then we pause for a second, and then it's like the floodgates just open, right? Which is a fun time, right? It's a fun time to trade. But again, strong selling pressure, right? Increased volume on those drops. We like to see it as a bear. And then a failed breakout. Again, this goes back to the patterns I talked about. If we break out of a pattern on low volume, chances are it's not going to sustain. And so we have to be able to watch for that. I feel like we've discussed all of this. I really want to get into these charts with you guys. This is important. This is actually important. Divergence, right? So again, the volume and the candle has to match. So I think what I'll do is show you guys this. I'm going to give you guys a second. If you need this, to screenshot it. I drew this on my iPad, so don't laugh at me. And I'll just preface this with this. These patterns do not look like this in the real market, right? They're very much cookie cutter versions, but I just want you guys to understand how to draw the trend lines. Don't really worry about the names. Just worry about the trend line, right? Because the names of the candles can get overwhelming. Even on those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bar candlestick patterns, I really just want people to understand how to read them. It's like reading music to me. But you don't have to know that this is a bullish pennant. I just need you to know that we're waiting until we take out one of these trend lines with volume, right? That's all I need you to know for now. And then context, right? The bullish pennant is a continuation pattern. So it forms in the middle of an already established trend, just like the bearish pennant. But yeah, this is just a little cheat sheet. And I think we have to be close to the charting part. I know I can be a little long-winded. Oh yeah, I hit it. Okay, this is the last slide until we chart. But just so you guys can see, we do have, the site is investingbay.com. We have tons of resources on there. I always forget to like shout this stuff out, but this is our site if you have questions about what we offer. And now let's get into the charts because this is actually my favorite part. So what I'm going to do is let's just look at SPYQs. You guys see today's like no volume. There's not a lot of volume, but that's okay. I'm going to just jump up here to this daily. And yes, we actually have a SPX class series coming up in, I think it's like 2 weeks. But I'm going to break down. Here's my thing, right? Because I'm really protective about like new traders. And I don't think anyone should start off trading SPX, right? I think that's like, you know, your first day driving and you're jumping in a Ferrari. I don't think that's a good idea. But for the people that are in like, you know, comfortable with options, understanding momentum, things like that, then it's a little different of a story. But when I teach SPX, I also like to teach the macro behind it. I don't like to just, I like to make sure people have all the information. And I'm just plotting up my levels right now, you guys. So this is our high of the day and our low of the day. So I did mark that. I'm also going to mark up our previous high of the day and our previous low of the day just because, and I'll show you why in just a second. I'm going to jump down on my time frames, but this is on a daily and I call this my roadmap. So like every morning I just come up here and adjust these things. And it's literally like my roadmap. So here's this. And then also because some days are crazier than others, I do like to put a couple extra levels in here because the worst thing that can happen is that we start dumping or ripping and I have no levels pre-marked. Like the last thing you want to do during the live market is try to find levels from like 2 years ago. All right. So I did mark up these gaps as well. We got a little bit of a gap left over from today too. All right. So now I'm back down on these lower time frames. Let's do a 2 minute because today's a little slow. And I'm going to throw up a trend line too. All right. That was like the quickest chart setup of my life. All right, here we go, guys. So now that we have our roadmap, right? And we also have a gap. I'm sorry. We have a gap from pre-market. Let me get that to you. Very thorough. Okay, here we go. So now we've got all these gaps and things in place. So the reason I draw this roadmap is because I want to see where price is, right? Like they say in real estate, location, location, location. So I see that we're trading around the high of the day. And I see that we've been kind of stuck here for a minute, right? So until we get a little more volume in here, there's nothing too exciting going on. Notice up here how, look at the volume here. Look at this buying volume up here around the high, right? We actually, this is a pattern here. You guys see the high here, 512.05, 512.05. This is a tweezer top. That is a bearish reversal pattern, right? Two bar pattern. We've got two highs that are the same. We can't break it. And notice this volume, right? If we're going to take out the high of the day, we got to come a little bit stronger than that on the buying volume. This is not going to cut it. This is not going to cut it. Over here, you guys see how we're starting to pull back a hair, but look at the selling volume, right? It's not really crazy either yet. We want to give it time to develop because this is a 2 minute candle. So it's a really slow, I mean, it's a low time frame and this is really slow, but you guys can see there's literally no volume going on right now, right? And the price is reflecting that. So if we're going to move higher, we got to see this pick it up. So let's go. Yeah, this is right now. This is live market. This is live market. Let's look over here. This is power hour. Look at this. Look at all day yesterday. And then look what happened at power hour. Do you see the difference in that volume? This is what we want to look for when we talk about those high probability setups, right? We want to trade strength. Can you jump in here and trade this down? Yeah, but this isn't going to be as smooth of a ride as this, right? This is way stronger than this. Even though this is a downtrend, it is a weak downtrend. This is a stronger uptrend. Let's go back some more. Oh, do you guys see a pattern here? The morning volume totally died. Look at this day. Chop city, right? Chop city. And then over here, you got a little push. We hit the ceiling. And then look what happened. The sellers came piling in. Over here, I'm going back again. Let's see. This volume on TradingView sometimes is a little elusive from us, but there we go. So we got a golden cross. You guys see the 50s above the 200. This white one is my 50 EMA. The 200 is this purple one. So there's the volume spike, right? But the bulls didn't back them up, right? The bulls didn't keep going. They kind of backed down for a second. So here you have a little fight between the bulls and bears to figure out which way we're going to go, what kind of day we're going to have. They defended that 50 and then they stepped back in. But again, this is what I was going to mention earlier with that divergence. This. So you guys see this candle here? Look at the volume spike there, right? When I talk about like candles needing to match the volume, this is an example of a divergence, right? So the candle is, you know, crazy long wick on top, which we now know that the sellers are pushing back, right? And then look at the volume spike. If you see volume like that come in, the price, we want to see the price advance, right? We need to move higher. So this right here is divergence. This is not a candle we would want to go in on, right? Over here, you have a volume spike and you also have a big body candle. That's better, but it still didn't sustain. So then over here, look at this guy, right? You had a big selling spike. This is more divergence. You guys see that? Look at that wick. The buyers are like, oh, wait, no, we actually do want to go up. But again, this is the first couple minutes of the market. Your premium is going to get thrown all over the place, right? This is not where you want to be. We always want to be looking for strength. Okay, let's go back to the live and see what's going on. And I'll show you guys this too, because I'm a very impatient person. Thus, my trading style is short and sweet to the point. But instead of me sitting here waiting on this, that may or may never happen, right? SPY is known to consolidate up until, I don't know, 3:55 p.m. sometimes. But what we'll do is I'm just going to mark a level here. I'm going to say, let me know when we get past 5:12:05. Right. So now I'm not even going to be bothered by this to the upside. And I'm also going to set a trigger to the downside. Right. So at this point, if I do get alerted here, I'm still coming in looking for volume. Right. Just because the alert is there doesn't mean I'm going to dive right in. I want to make sure that we're taking this high out with volume. Over here, let's see what's going on this downside. I would probably not worry about downside here until we break yesterday's high, to be honest, because this is super choppy up through here. It's even choppy down here, but I really don't care what happens. And this is more around that 200 as well. So I would feel more confident with downside. If we trigger this, if we take out the 200 with strong bearish volume, that's the more high probability setup than just me jumping in here and trying to wrestle this down and praying on it. You know what I mean? But do we have any questions? I know that was a lot. I feel like that this was action packed. So I definitely want to see if anybody has questions. And we can, if you have another ticker you want to look at, we can do that too. I'm just obsessed with the S&P 500. All right, let's see. Let's look at Tesla. I feel like Tesla is going through some things right now. What does it offer? So it really depends on, we have so many different things. What I found over the years is that people have different learning styles and budgets and all that. So we try to have something for everyone. But we have I can show you better than I can tell you because I haven't had my coffee. Hang on 1 second. All right. So here's the site. Basically, we have a Bay Pass, which is like our monthly studies, or not monthly, our weekly study group. So we meet every Sunday night and we go over like catalysts. We get into a little macro. We do a watch list for you guys. We set alerts together. And we just prepare for the week, right? We go over the economic calendar, earnings, all that good stuff. We answer questions if people have them. We have like trade reviews. We meditate. We also do book clubs. So like we read a lot of trading and psychology books. Our mentorship is a little more hands-on. Well, I won't say a little more. I'm kind of like all in y'all's business, but it's easier to work with people when we can like kind of see what they're doing up close. We can work with you. I call it the pit crew. So it's me. I have a business partner that I work with who's actually my mentor as well. And then we've actually incorporated some of our high earning students. So we have students in like the six and seven figures now, and they also work with us too. So it's kind of like you get multiple perspectives, but we just want to make sure that the information that goes around is good information. So we really try to vet, or not, I don't even say try, we vet these people, and we all work together just to kind of help traders develop. And so that's with mentorship, but you also get live classes, you get all the courses, Bay Pass is included in that, and you can live trade with us too. This is yours. Oh no, my mentor, we work together. So basically how this came about is that I met my mentor. Well, he was just a friend at that point. And so we got into the market, and he just really helped me develop as the trader that I am now. And we still work together. So I feel like I'm just constantly developing. But we just wanted to kind of take what we did together and do it for other people. So now it's like two of us, and then we have our team that we work with, and we all work together. Like we all have a private chat together. Like we're really at your fingertips. That's what this is for, just to make sure that people are on the right track. Live classes, we do these once a month. We rotate the calendar, but if you just want to come to a live session, it's interactive. And we learn together, really similar to this. And then we do the one-on-ones. We do the one-on-ones. And Bay has no meaning, honestly. The first brand I had was Options Bay. And it was just really to in the beginning, it was a platform for women. But I realized that a lot of men like to trade too. And so we just kind of opened it up, but the name just stuck. So yeah, that's where that came from. But it's really for everyone. And yeah, we have a free Slack community. If you're in there, you can actually reach out to these people. They're in there too. But there's a lady named Jamie. There's a guy named AC. His name's Alex. There's a ton of them, but you can see them in the group. They're all in the chat together. It really is. I know it sounds cheesy, but we really are like a big family. But yeah. And you guys, if you can't tell, I don't pitch a lot. I just tell people to check out the site if you're interested. But yeah, this right here, this is my happy place. I just love charts. I love technicals. Very much a technical trader. And I like to teach people too. I do like to see people like put these things together because it can be life-changing, but it can also be devastating if you don't know what you're doing. So how do I know I'm not already following your mentor? I don't know. He might be. I'm not sure. Oh, you're asking me what my mentor's name is. His name is Jay. His name is Jay. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I read your question totally wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're just asking me what my mentor's name is. Okay, cool. That's funny. I told you I didn't have my coffee yet. I haven't even traded yet today because I haven't had any. So yeah. Any other questions, y'all? I'll go ahead and chart up Tesla just because I know we're coming up on our time, but I do love a gap and I see one. I see a couple actually, and I'll keep my eyes on the chat. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's the cool thing about these videos is that they're recorded, so you can always go back and rewatch. I actually rewatch myself just to make sure that I make sense to people because sometimes I feel like I get so into these charts, I feel like I'm just sitting here by myself. And there's like a room full of people watching us. So let's see. And Tesla, this is a good example, you guys. So you see how we just took out this low, this previous low? So now this is one of those times where we would have to go back in history and hunt and see 170, 370. Where was Tesla? Like, when's the last time we were down here? 173, 70, 172, 45 is our next level down. But that's not something you want to do when you're in the middle of a trade. Oh, that's not it. It's down here somewhere. There we go. That's our next take profit to the downside. And like I said, that can be a rough process to try to, depending on how far back you have to go, that can be rough. All right. So it looks like we're trading above yesterday's low, which is we're making some progress here, but we still don't have any volume. So there's not too much to get excited about. Oh, goodness, Tesla. Let's see. It looks like NVIDIA has volume. Had past tense. We had some volume. What's up with Broadcom? And honestly, midday, like around this time, it's usually trash anyway. It's like lunchtime, but usually like 1:30, 2 o'clock, I'll come back into the market. This is typically like my gym time. I like the morning, and then I like to hit the gym, and then I'll come back for the afternoon. I think a little of both, honestly. I think a little of both. The Elon effect is real. But yeah, you guys, that's all I have for you. I hope you guys learned something. That's always my goal. It's just somebody to take something, a little nugget here and there. And thank you so much for having me, David. I love doing these.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
Anytime.